to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Christopher Guerrero is the co-owner and CEO of Leaders for Life Martial Arts and Champaign's best summer camps and after-school program. They use martial arts and childcare as an opportunity to teach the life skills of confidence, discipline, and respect. He and his wife are fifth degree black belts and have trained multiple world champions, originally from Las Vegas, where he and his wife met. They have two wonderful daughters, love to eat out at diverse restaurants, and like that it gives them the opportunity to support local.
Hi, Chris. We're happy to have you on What's the Mood with the Illinois Human Performance Project. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, fantastic. It's an honor to be a part of this podcast right now. So thank you for having me.
And Chris, you are from Leaders for Life, which is a martial arts studio in Champaign, Illinois.
Right.
And I was curious, how did you get involved in martial arts yourself?
That's a great question. So I do like telling the story. When I was like 6 or 7, my dad got me involved in martial arts and at a community center. And I really didn't enjoy it. I actually, when I was younger, I swore never to do martial arts again. And then in middle school, I lacked a lot of the confidence and self-esteem that a lot of my peers may have had, or at least just demonstrated. And so in middle school, I had gotten bullied, kicked on both legs and fell to the ground and didn't know how to handle myself in that situation. And so go to the nurse's office and call my dad, and I'm on the phone with my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I got hurt, I got picked on, I got bullied at school." And he said, "You know, I've been telling you to do martial arts for a long time now." And I said, "I know, Dad, but I really don't want to do it." And he said, "Well, I think you should definitely do it." And I said, "No, I don't want to do it." And then, as a good father, any good father would say, he said, "I don't care what you want, you're doing martial arts." And that's how the journey started. And so I just believe that as a parent, sometimes we have to force our kids to do things that they don't want to do, but we know as a parent is going to be good for them. And in that case, it was the best decision that he forced me to ever do. So.
That's awesome. So what impact has martial arts had on you as an individual when that, you know, shift came for you and you started doing it?
It took a long time, but the physical fitness of martial arts is definitely something that everyone can benefit from. The group aspect, right? The group fitness of it all is also something that is really great, but the mentality of the encouragement that we normally get through martial arts and the mentality of challenging ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. What I have found is that through martial arts, when I'm challenged with something, when I was younger, I was taught to push through, right? Persevere. And then unknowingly, that then taught me to then persevere in other areas of life, right? With career, with finances, with relationships and marriage and being a parent. The perseverance that I learned through martial arts kind of bled into all those things. Whenever we stretch, one of our students, he'll shout out, we love being flexible. And being flexible really just meaning that we have a flexible mindset, able to adapt to situations. And although we're not perfect at it, right, we still have a stronger ability to be mentally flexible and adapt. And even if we're not, there's also the humility aspect of martial arts too. And I think that is what the humility aspect has really impacted me, especially in the past 2 years. So.
I love hearing about that connection between the physical skills that you develop as well as those social emotional skills, and seeing how that's really a partnership. And when you're challenging yourself in one aspect of your life, you're really able to develop yourself in another aspect.
Absolutely.
And so in your years of experience at Leaders for Life, what is a lesson on leadership that you feel like you've learned personally?
One of the biggest life skills I learned, especially at Leaders for Life. Now, just to give some background, in Las Vegas, I was not part of Leaders for Life, the school itself. although majority of martial arts schools teach life skills. And so the life skills that I learned at my previous school would be things like discipline, respect, self-esteem, honesty, communication, belief, all those basic life skills. But then here at Leaders for Life, we have a different set of life skills that we teach that kind of envelop those, but they go really deep. And it's awesome. I love these life skills that we teach. And these life skills, like one of them is about teamwork. And like I said, humility has really impacted me in the past couple of years. And so one of our life skills that we do teach though with teamwork is called consideration. And so consideration has really helped me to then, again, in my relationships, to consider what other people may be feeling before considering just how I feel. And this has worked well in our marriage. And also it works well with, like, as a CEO, as a business owner with my team, is if they're having a tough day and they come into work, instead of me reacting to them and saying, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, I'm then able to respond and say, what can I do for you? Is there a way that I can help you to be an effective team player today? I think that has taken me to the next level just as a leader, but then having the ability to then teach that to the younger generation, because that wasn't necessarily something that I was taught. I think it was something that my parents were trying to instill in me, right? How to consider other people's feelings, but really putting it into practice in the past couple of years has been a big game changer for me.
That's really good. Consideration is such a powerful soft skill. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody couple that with leadership in such a powerful way. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah.
So as you think about your students, I'm imagining you've interacted with so many throughout the years. What are a lot of skills that you address to support them? And like, you know, here at the Human Performance Project, we talk a lot about optimal performance, being the most optimal functioning individual you can be. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that you kind of focus on that with your students?
I do a lot of work on why are you doing this? Like the why behind our students, and even not just the students, but also like our team here, the instructors, even the administrative team, and our martial artists or our competitors mostly. I'll ask them, like, what's your reasoning? Why? Why do you want to do this? And what's the point of you continuing to train in martial arts, right? And at least in our style of Taekwondo, it takes approximately 3 to 4 years to earn the black belt. And so after those 3 to 4 years, what we find is that students start to not regress, they just start to pull back, because they said that it's just like when you were losing weight. We set a number goal, and then when you hit that number goal, most people then start to regress. And so I think that happens with the black belt, is that students say, oh, I'm going to get my black belt. And then once they get it, they're either going to keep going forward or they're going to stop training completely. We encourage students to keep training, but we also need to discover those students why. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start competing, or do you want to become an instructor, or just continue in your health journey? You know, what is it? And I think that helping them to understand their why can help them determine the quality of their training as well. Because I saw a post on Facebook actually earlier today, and it said, it doesn't matter how many private lessons you get or how expensive your gear is. All that mostly what matters is the motivation of the child to continue in the training. And that's going to be, again, it determines the quality of their effort during their training, because you know, obviously the quality is going to determine the result, right?
Yeah. I'm curious, with the whys, do they, for the individuals, do they tend to kind of be the same throughout the years? Do the whys change for people? Is it a mix?
It normally starts with the same.
Okay.
And then it'll change depending on the student. And I think it starts the same because some student, let's say one of our students is a world champion, the other students look at that student, they go, I want to be a world champion. But then on their journey to becoming a world champion, they start to notice things about themselves that's unique. And then it changes their idea of what they want to accomplish. Yeah. We this week are teaching in our life skills, teamwork, but the actual life skill that we have a big idea, and then we narrow it down to smaller ideas within that life skill. So the life skill this week, we call it win-win, which is what benefits both. And I've been talking about the four mentalities. One of the mentalities is the I win, you lose mentality. And those are normally hyper-competitive people that they don't care if anybody else wins, they just want to win. And then there's the I lose, you win mentality, which is if somebody else wins, that must mean I'm a loser. And that's definitely not, both of those things are not mentalities that are going to help us to grow. And then the third mentality is the I lose, you lose, which is the sore loser, which says that they, you know, if I don't win, nobody should win. And that's definitely not a mentality we want to teach. And then I say that the fourth is the only one out of these four is a leader, is the I win, you win mentality, is finding creative ways for each person to discover what they want. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to get first place all the time, but my students, they've been saying it back to me, which is awesome because I don't even say it yet. They're just telling me, they're like, well, you win if you learn something from the experience. So I'm like, great. I don't have to even, you guys can take my job. So, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're touching on the important aspects of just being able to appreciate experiences and not have everything motivated by that external reward. And so it's really cool to hear about, maybe the students start out with that idea of having an external reward where, you know, getting a certain level or their black belt, but then as they go through that journey, they build that internal motivation that's really going to guide them throughout their whole lives to realize those different factors that you encounter. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. And Jenny, if I can ask too, do you see that happening in school too, that some students might be getting good grades and they get some type of external reward, but then we obviously as teachers, we want to teach our students how to have intrinsic motivation. So do you see that happening at schools too?
Yeah, I think that you can definitely, when you're looking at students and the attitude they have, the way they work, there is a big difference between a student that's working for that external reward versus just internally knowing, hey, I'm doing this and I'm putting hard work in. So I definitely think it's a huge skill that needs to continue to be developed in schools and, you know, outside of schools with parents and community members and organizations.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all doing this together. We like to say a lot that, you know, not us, this isn't our quote, but, you know, it takes a village, right? Just to raise one child. And so we just get to be a part of that for each family that's here. So,
yeah. And I think it is like the opportunities of reinforcing those things where you were mentioning to Julie that she probably told her son some of the things that the martial arts master was telling him. Mm-hmm. And it's really just being reinforced by different members of the community, different people that students and athletes encounter so that they can have that experience themselves. Oh, someone didn't just tell me, I lived that experience and that allowed me to learn it for myself.
Right. Definitely happens in relationships too. My wife mentions that I don't listen to her, but if someone else says the same exact thing, I tend to take action. Yeah.
And so I have another question for you. Why do you feel like it's important for your program to specifically connect back to schools and to skill building and to have an emphasis on that positive school culture?
Yeah. So we definitely believe that students should be well-balanced in life, like a well-balanced diet, right? They should be performing well. We don't expect perfect, but just in all areas of life. And as adults, we need to have a well-balanced life so that we can be the example for those kids, right? There's certain areas that we talk about that we all need to have balance in, which normally we call it like spinning plates. And if one plate is starting to fall, we got to, you know, go back and spin another plate. And so like all these plates are like relationships, friends, fun, finances, business, spiritual, and health. And so if that is tough for us as adults, how much more for kids? And we, again, get to be the example. And just to, like you said, telling stories of how this worked for me. This could be different for you, but this is, you could try this out. And we just need to be that first stepping stone for the children to see and also be comfortable. And I think it's important. And we were mentioning earlier that, you know, us at Leaders for Life, we send a paper out to with the students to their schools just to see how they're doing in school, because we think about it like it's a triangle with the child in the middle, is that the parents are at the top, and at the bottom of the triangle are the teachers and their mentors. And we get to be a part of the mentor group or the teacher group, whichever one. And then the child is in the middle. And we just kind of surround that child to then help them to go along. So we want to make sure that they're doing good in all areas of life, whether it being school, sports, and anywhere that they're doing, you know, I think connecting their martial arts journey to everything is an important thing to create that connection between everything.
Yeah.
I think it really allows kids to maybe be more open to those opportunities and taking initiative, taking risk, and mm-hmm. seeing how the other leaders in their life have done that. So mm-hmm. they can do it too. And just that yeah. confidence and that willingness to maybe be a little vulnerable or be uncomfortable, but know that there's rewards with those types of skills too.
Absolutely. Taking risk is such an important thing that right now we're trying to actually teach our students that if I say we do hooks. So if I say first time, the kids say every time. If I say we are, the kids say the best. I want to start doing another hook that says we're taking risks, and everyone says great. I just want, like, you know, like Meet the Robinsons, like always keep trying. And like, we just want to let them know, the kids know that they should be taking risks, and having courage just means that you do things, even if you're scared.
That's good. So Chris, you obviously, you know, pour your heart into developing leaders for life and young students. And mm-hmm. it's my belief some people had to have poured into you, and their leadership had to have influenced you. So, you know, who's someone that had invested in you in your life that you wouldn't be who you are today, or potentially even doing what you do today, if it weren't for them?
Yeah. You know, I definitely believe that we can't pour from an empty cup, and nobody has ever succeeded on their own. So there's just so many, you know, going with a cliche, my mom and my dad. My mom is the entrepreneur spirit out of our family. And so I think I learned just to have an entrepreneurship spirit from her. But my dad, if we're talking about all of those areas of balance in life, he's the spiritual leader in my life that really pushes me to remember where all my blessings are coming from, to have gratitude and to give it all back to where I believe everything is coming from. And so my dad is just such a faithful man. I just want to, I hope I can follow his example. But my first martial arts instructors, Andrew O'Hara and Christopher DeSmith. Andrew O'Hara, he taught me how to be a good martial artist, and he really pushed me to have the perseverance mindset, because for all of the students that I trained with growing up, and I had the opportunity to also be an assistant instructor when I was younger with him, he really pushed us physically to the point where we really wanted to quit. But then he then reminded us of our why, and that didn't allow us to quit. And even if we were going to quit, the other students wouldn't allow us to quit. They would pull us back to the line, you know, figuratively and literally, because we would do exercises and he would make us push. And if we wanted to quit, we just had to hit the bell. And let's say students would start walking over to hit the bell, and then other students would pull that student back. And then we would then do the exercise with that student, whatever it was, so that they couldn't quit. And we were there with them. But then Christopher DeSmith, he really helped me to be more compassionate with other students. When I became a chief instructor, he was my director. And so he taught me how to look at my students with a different angle to continue to push them, but to look at them with grace and mercy and love. And then the old owners of this academy, Jeff and Tina Newberry, they were in Champaign for 40 years. And so they were looking for a new couple to buy the school. And so my wife and I honorably became that couple to purchase the location. And so we were super excited, but they've been really awesome business mentors, and they have not asked anything from us. And we just get to continue to ask them questions, and they're just so gracious to give to us. And just lastly, that one of the students here, his name is David Verona. If any of the students at the school know him, his name is Coach. We call him Coach. But he's actually my personal life coach. And we meet we do our best to meet once a week, but every once in a while we'll meet, and he'll just ask me questions to find the answers that I already have. Right. And so we'll be sitting down and he'll ask me, he says, "What's going on in your life?" And I'll tell him, and then he'll say, "Okay, are you open to feedback?" And I'll say, "Sure." And then he'll give me some experience he's had, and then he'll ask me questions. And then that'll help me to just say, "Oh, okay, I already know the answer. I'm just going to go with that." So
it's really amazing to hear about the building of the environment that's just both encouragement and accountability. Right. So I feel like those two elements are so vital for youth, athletes, and everybody to realize that if you're right. building an environment where there's people that are going to both encourage you and mm-hmm. hold you accountable, you're going to be able to reach a lot of goals in your life. Right. So thank you so much for sharing all of your yeah. insight and expertise with us this morning.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah. And you know, it's really encouraging. I hope on both ends, like we're both moving in the direction of trying to just deposit positively into this world. And so it encourages us to hear how you're doing that with leadership in the realm that you're in. So thanks, Chris, for this conversation, and we wish you all the best at Leaders for Life.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's, again, an honor to be able to talk with you too.
Yeah, likewise.